Thank you, Robs, for reading to us. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word together now, and not just at this passage, but actually all kinds of different places in the Bible that speak about baptism this morning, as we unpack this topic, would you teach us and help us to understand, for those of us who are baptized, all that our baptism means? And perhaps for anyone who's not, what that might mean to take that step. Lord, come and be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our series this morning on Back to Basics. You'll know that we're spending this time looking at some of the very fundamental things of the Christian faith, what our foundations are. And over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at two words, haven't we? Some great meaty theological words, justification and sanctification. So Dan, the first week, 2 weeks ago, unpacked justification for us, how God makes us right with him so that we can come before a holy God because of what Jesus has done. In a sense, in his giving us new spotless clothes to wear. And then Louise last week, Louise McFerrin, unpacked for us sanctification, which is the process of growing into those clothes, in a sense, as God makes us more like Jesus. Now, this week, we're looking at baptism, which I guess for much of us might feel a bit more familiar territory. It's a practical thing, isn't it, baptism? I expect plenty of us here have been baptized. Some of us will have children who've been baptized. I expect the vast majority of us will have been to a baptism, at very least. So it's familiar, but what does it mean? If you are baptized, what does your baptism mean to you? Is it something you give much thought to? What significance does it hold in your everyday life? If you're not baptized, is it something you would consider? And if so, at what point might you consider it? It's interesting that Scripture doesn't offer us any great long passages that unpack baptism theologically. When I saw I was preaching on baptism, I thought, oh, okay, so what's my big passage? And I was like, oh, interesting. There's no big long chapter where Paul says this is everything that baptism means. The short passage we had from Romans just now is probably the longest bit of teaching, and that's just a couple of verses, really, about what baptism all means. And there are other very brief mentions in the New Testament letters about what baptism means. What we have much more of in the New Testament, rather than teaching on baptism, is story after story of people being baptized, even Jesus himself. And that's how we're going to approach baptism this morning. We're going to look at the stories and what those stories point to. Some of the stories point to other stories, the stories within stories when you start unpacking baptism. This is God's story, first and foremost, and we're going to look at how that story might become our story as we enter into it. So the first part of the story is Jesus himself being baptized in the River Jordan. You might know how it goes. John the Baptist had been baptizing people for repentance of their sins, preparing the way for Jesus. And then Jesus steps onto the scene, doesn't he? And he asks John to baptize him. And John's initially like, whoa, I can't baptize you. You're sinless. Why would I baptize you? But Jesus convinces him. And Jesus goes down into the waters of the Jordan and comes up again. He's baptized. And as he comes up, the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And this voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then that marks really the start of Jesus's ministry. He goes into the desert where he's tempted. He comes back in the power of the Spirit and begins his teaching and his miracles and all his amazing work. So first off, what does this story tell us? What does Jesus's baptism tell us? Well, it tells us that Jesus has come to bring new life. Many Jews at the time would have seen the events of Jesus' baptism pointing back even to the story of creation. This is something I hadn't thought about a lot before I was preparing this, and I found it fascinating. So in Genesis chapter 1, we're told the earth was formless and empty, but there was deep water. And that water almost represented the chaos, the disorder, the confusion. But the Spirit of God hovered over those waters. And then a voice, God's voice, speaks out. And it brings order into that chaos. God speaks order. He says, let there be light, let there be sky and land and plants and animals and people. And life comes about in all its rich variety and abundance. And God says of all of it, it is good. He speaks his affirmation over creation. So the parallels, even between those two stories, are fascinating as we look at Jesus' baptism. A new work of creation is going on here. There's this powerful image of Jesus descending into the waters, going down into the chaos and the disorder. We think of Jesus coming to earth, don't we, to identify with us. And here we see the extent to which he is going to go down into the chaos, into the brokenness and sinfulness of humanity. And then to come out of that again. The Spirit of God is there again. And the voice of God is there again, affirming this time Jesus, affirming all that is happening. This is my son whom I love and I'm pleased with. So there's a new work of creation going on as Jesus is baptized, new life. Now, many Jews will have also seen the image of water going through the waters as meaning something about God's rescue. They'd have thought of Noah going on the boat, being rescued through the flood. They'd have thought of Moses going through the Red Sea, escaping from slavery in Egypt to freedom. They'd have thought of Joshua and the people of God going through the Jordan to the promised land. So the water has this powerful imagery of God's rescue of his people. And of course, Jesus' baptism not only points back to all these stories, but even more wonderfully points forward to perhaps the greatest story of all. It gives us a glimpse of what he's going to do in his death and resurrection. We see in his baptism a picture of the ultimate saving work that he's going to do, when he'll take all of that confusion and chaos, not just into the water, but into the grave where it will die. And then he'll rise again, triumphing over it all and bringing about his new order. There is the promise of new life that we are given, that Jesus has won for us in his resurrection, and that we step into as we walk in a new way of life, entering in to his new creation with him, working for his kingdom. So that's the story of Jesus' baptism, new life and a new way of life being offered. As we move into the book of Acts, we see that baptism becomes the church's story as well. It's not just something Jesus does as a picture for us, but it's something we are invited to do. Baptism is the sign, the badge, or the marker of those who want to follow Jesus. And there's nothing magic in being baptized, but it's consistently the outward sign of something that has happened inwardly when people decide to follow Jesus. Some of Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew 28 are that they should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all his commands. We see on the day of Pentecost, as the church is born, 3,000 people coming to believe in Jesus. They repent and they're baptized. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? 3,000 people getting baptized. The church is born. And after that, in Acts, we read story after story after story. It's like a refrain. They believed and they were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. They were believed and they were baptized over and over. And it's this amazing variety of people. We see Simon, the sorcerer, a practicer of dark magic, repenting of all of that, believing in Jesus, getting baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in what was then a pagan state, he believes and he's baptized. Saul, the big persecutor of the Christian church, previously throwing them all in jail, has this amazing encounter with Jesus. He is baptized straight away. All the Gentiles in Caesarea, Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman and her household, a jailer who just been having Paul and Silas behind bars previously, sees the power of God, believes, is baptized with his whole household. Crispus, the synagogue leader in Corinth, he and his household are baptized. It goes on and on and on. It's so exciting to read. This huge diversity of people, men and women, rich and poor, upright citizens and more colorful characters, putting their faith in Jesus and getting baptized, both as a sign that they have received new life and that they're entering into a new way of life. And it's interesting to note that baptism in the New Testament is all, it's never something people do when they've reached a certain point in their journey of faith. It always happens right at the start. Almost it's part of their conversion experience when you read it. It's not about whether you know your Bible well enough now to get baptized. It's not about whether your faith feels certain and strong enough to get baptized. There's no attainment target to be reached before you are ready to get baptized. Quite the opposite. Baptism is there right at the start. The moment someone says, I want to follow Jesus. So no one turns around in the book of Acts and says, well, I think first of all you should do an alpha course to make sure you've really understood all the fundamental points of the Christian faith. And then you should come to church for a bit. You should probably join a team and serve to show that you really mean this. If you're not on a rota, how can we be sure, you know, that you're really up for this, that you're committed? You should probably join a house group as well because you need to be in community and be discipled. And all of that stuff, no. Oh, then you should probably do a baptism preparation course to make sure that you really understand what baptism means. Nobody did that. They believed in Jesus and straight away they were baptized. Now, I'm not knocking all of that other stuff. That other stuff is all the important work of discipleship. And that's brilliant and it's needed and it's vital. But that comes after baptism. Baptism is the start of the journey. And I would like to add that that's one of the reasons in the Church of England why we baptise infants. And I recognise there will be different views among us on that issue this morning. And some of us with children will have had our kids baptised and some of us will have taken a decision not to have them baptised because we want them to reach an age where they can make that decision for themselves. And I'm not looking to make a judgment on either of those things or say that one is better or worse. That's your decision if you're a parent. And there is value in both of those approaches. But there's something about the rationale for baptising infants that the Church of England holds that I think it's just worth looking at. Firstly, we see whole households being baptised over and over again in the book of Acts, and we assume that would have included children. But secondly, it's this recognising that baptism marks the start of the journey. It's about joining the community of faith. And in baptising an infant, we're saying you're part of this community of faith right from the start. And our desire for you, even as a baby, is that you grow up from this point forward knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, loving him, walking with him, and that there doesn't ever need to be a time in your life when you don't know Jesus. Yes, what that means will change as you get older and you mature, but baptism marks the start of that journey. And so in baptising an infant, we're saying you don't have to wait till you can prove your more adult faith to us as the church. We're saying the journey starts here and we're trusting in God for your faith and your life with him. So we baptise you at the start of that. And in the Church of England, if a baby is baptised, we would then celebrate confirmation later on as the marker of that person coming to own all of what that means for themselves. And Dan's going to say a bit more about that when we look at communion in a couple of weeks' time. So that's a little side note, but I think it's helpful just to understand, well, why do we baptise babies then? So that's some of the rationale for that. The important question for us this morning is, of course, what does it all mean for you and me? In the first few verses from Romans that we heard earlier, Paul brings all of these stories together in this short snippet of teaching. And he says that we are baptized into Jesus Christ, not baptized like him, not baptized following his pattern, but into him. Our baptism represents the fact that to follow Jesus is to be absolutely united with him. just as he stepped into our story and came to fully identify with us in all the mess and brokenness and chaos of our humanity, so we're invited to join him in his story, to fully identify with him, to be united with him, even in his death and resurrection. And that's a big thing, isn't it? So to be baptized is to make a very, very big statement. It is not simply to say, I think Jesus is a good guy. He was a good teacher. I'm a fan, more than being a fan. It is, in a sense, a death of our old life and a stepping into new life. It is a putting to death all in our lives that is not of Jesus. It's saying goodbye to self-will and self-rule. And that's hard, isn't it? We're saying that dies with Jesus in our baptism. And it's buried with him. But also, wonderfully, we are raised to new life with him. We join with him in his resurrection and all the hope and the promise that that brings. And because we're in Christ, we too get to hear those words of affirmation that Jesus speaks, that the Father speaks over Jesus. We too are adopted sons and daughters with who God loves. That becomes true for us. We too receive the Spirit. We open ourselves up to the new creation work that God wants to do in our lives and that he wants to do through us as we step out and serve him, as our ministries begin as well. So baptism is the outward sign, of the inward reality of what God has done, giving us new life and inviting us into a new way of life. So wonderful things, wonderful, wonderful things. How do you respond this morning? It depends, I guess, on where you are in terms of are you baptized or not? What does all of that mean for you? And there's a whole different bunch of ways we could respond. If you're here this morning and you're not baptized, I want to ask what is stopping you. It might be you're not yet in a place where you're ready to say, I want to follow Jesus. And if that's the case, don't get baptized yet. But do think about Jesus, what he says he is, who he says he is, what following him means. Look into that. I would urge you, check out his claims, read about his life. He offers you new life and a new way of life. Please, please look into that. Come and chat to any of us on the staff afterwards. Do an alpha course, whatever you need to do to find out more about this Jesus. If you do believe in Jesus, if you have decided to follow him, but you're not yet baptized, please, please get baptized. It is the most incredible outward picture of all that God has done for you. Don't worry if you don't feel you know enough yet, if you don't feel you know your Bible enough yet, if you don't feel strong enough in your faith yet. That stuff is the journey of the rest of our lives. That's the journey of discipleship. We do that every day, all of us. We're all growing in that. We do it together. But the journey starts with our baptism. So don't delay on that. If you want to know that God has given you new life and you want to embark on a new way of life following him, get baptized. And if that's you, please do speak. Don't leave this place today without speaking to Dan or to me. I would love nothing more, can I tell you, than to get a massive pool of water up here and to baptize some people. I will definitely cry. I will definitely have the biggest grin on my face you've ever seen. I just don't think there is anything more exciting than seeing new believers baptized. So if that's you, just do it. Just do it. It might be you were baptized as a baby or an infant. And yet that ideal of growing up in the family of faith and never knowing a time in your life where you didn't know Jesus wasn't actually your experience. And therefore you might feel a mismatch between your baptism as an infant and your actual experience of coming to faith later. And that does happen. And if that's you, by full immersion, you again, but you can reaffirm your baptismal vows by full immersion. And if that's something that you would feel would be helpful for you, please know that that is an option. That is something we could do and we would love to do. So again, do talk to Dan or myself. If that's something that would be helpful for you as a marker of something has changed in my life and I really want to own my baptism in a fresh way, that is an option. But for the rest of us, and maybe the majority of us, I guess, what does your baptism mean to you on a day-to-day basis? Is it just something that happened a long time ago and you rarely think about? Or does it have daily significance for you? I found it interesting to watch the coronation. Well, I really enjoyed the coronation yesterday, as I'm sure many of us did. An incredible historic event. For some of us, it will have been a nice excuse for a party, even if we're not sure about the monarchy. We're all grateful, I'm sure, for a bonus bank holiday. But for most of us, it's not going to impact our daily lives. In a couple of weeks, we'll have mostly forgotten about it, won't we? We won't give it a whole load of more thought. But for King Charles, I'm sure it's quite different. He will think back on that event, won't he? Again and again and again. Not just because of the event itself, but because it signifies something enormous for him. It signifies a life-changing event. And it's interesting, the parallel here, because he didn't become king yesterday. He was already king. But that was the formalization, wasn't it? It was the outward sign and the public celebration of something that had already happened. But that will have been hugely significant for him. And of course, it affects the rest of his life deeply. And so all the more is it with our baptism, the sign of new life that we've received from God when we put our faith in Jesus, and the sign of a new way of life that we commit to when we embark on following Jesus. Not that we're going to do that perfectly. We're going to mess it up along the way, and Jesus is going to pick us up and forgive us and restore us. And his ongoing work in our lives carries on. But baptism marks the start of that in a wonderfully significant way as we celebrate with all of God's people what he's done for us. So something perhaps to ponder if you are baptized this week, each day over your breakfast. What does it mean to remember my baptism today? What does it mean to remember that I have died to my old way of life and I'm living a new life in Jesus? What does it mean to celebrate the new life that he has given me today and to give thanks for that? What does it mean to open myself to the work of his Spirit today, doing his new creation work in me? What does it mean to hear his words of affirmation over my life today, that he loves me, that I'm his son or daughter? And what does it mean to be commissioned for ministry, just as Jesus was from his baptism, to step out to serve him? Our baptism is rich in all of that symbolism. And it's a wonderful thing to ponder. So I'd urge you, if you're not baptized, think about what might be the right point for you to do that. If you are, think about it this week. Ponder it. Make a little note to just spend time dwelling on it. And let's give thanks for that. And let's live out the wonder of all that God invites us to. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have done everything for us. We want to thank you this morning that out of your great love for us, you are willing to come to this earth, to descend to the depths of the grot and the chaos of our human mess. And Lord, not just to be in it, but to triumph over it. Thank you that in your death and resurrection, you have dealt with sin and death. and that you offer us new life and a new way of life. And Lord, thank you for that incredibly powerful picture in baptism of dying to our old way of life, dying to our sin, dying to living for ourselves and rising out of those waters to new life. Lord, I pray this week as we ponder what that means for us, if we are baptized, or if we ponder whether it's something perhaps we should do if we're not. Lord, would you speak to each one of us? Would you hold us close to you? Help us to grasp all that you have done for us and all that you call us to, that we would walk closely with you in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.